We're holding Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, the sixth line. We learned yesterday that the first of the 11, or 10 or 11, depending how we count them, Milas Bakodesh, the things where we say that we're more machmir with Kodshim than with Truma. The first one of them was we said that Machbilin Kalim Besech Kalim, that when it comes to Truma, to preparing Kalim for using with Truma, you can tovel one Kali inside another, but not when it comes to Kodesh. And we said two reasons why. Rabbi Ila said the reason is because the inner keli may weigh down on the outer keli, and then you have a chatzitza. And Rava said the reason is because we're concerned that the opening of the outer keli may be narrower than shveferes hanoid, the size of the tube that they would put into, you know, the standard size tube that they would put in those days into a wineskin or something, where that's the minimum size for combining together water inside the keli and out, so that the water inside the keli is considered part of the water of the mikveh. So therefore, we're concerned that the outer keli may have an opening narrower than that, and he's totaling small kalim in there, and therefore it's not going to be counted as though they were in the mikveh, even though the water is physically connected. So the Gemara says, "My ikka ben de rabba le de rabbi ila." Now, what's the practical difference between these two reasons? Whether the reason is because the inner keli will weigh down on the outer one, or whether because the outer keli may have too narrow an opening? And the answer is the ikka ben de salva gargusni. The nafkamina would be if you have a basket, or salva is a regular size basket. A gargusni is a very large basket. Specifically, Rashi says that they use it to strain wine when they're pressing wine. They use a gargusni as a strainer to strain out the wine from, I guess, all of the grape peels or whatever that would be mixed into it. So a gargusni is that. So if you take those shemilon kalim behit bilon, if you fill up such a container with kalim and then you toivel them. If you say the problem is of chatzitza, that they may weigh down on the keli, then you still have this, which is Reb Ila's opinion, then you have the same problem, because it's a very large basket, fine, but nevertheless, the kelim are still going to be heavily on top of it, and therefore they're going to be a chatzitza. But if we say the problem is, as Rava says, Xera, because you might tovel them in a keli that has a very narrow opening, well, then that's not a problem. Well, then a salo gargusni, which don't have an opening the size of shreferes hanoid, they have a much wider opening. Leka. So then there's no problem toveling kalim inside them, according to Rava. So Rashi learns that it means it would be tohur even for Kodesh. When we're saying in the Mishnah that you can't tovel kalim inside kalim, that means when you're talking about when it's a regular, when the outer keli is a regular keli, and conceivably it might not have an opening the size of shveferes hanoid. But Rashi says Rava would learn that when it comes to if you're toveling them inside a salo gargusni, then it would be fine even for Kodesh. Tosfos over here discusses that we're saying that a nafkamina is the size of the opening in the container, whether it's a salo gargusni or something else. Why don't we say very simple that there's a nafkamina if the two kalim are tame, then if we say the potential problem is chatzitza, then neither of them is going to become tahor. If you say the potential problem is shreferes hanoid, then fine, the inner one may not be tahor, but the outer one will be tahor. And Tosfos answers that actually, as we said in our Mishnah, that we are in fact talking about to begin with where the outer one is tahor and the inner one is tameh. So in other words, therefore the Gemara can't bring that as a nafkamina between them, because in fact we're not talking about where both of them are tameh. A couple of things about that. Marsha understands Rashi to be saying when it comes to Truma, we're not making the Gzeira at all. Even though there is the potential problem of Shreferes Hanoid, by Truma, we're not making that Gzeira at all. So by Truma, whatever Kali you tovel inside another Kali would be fine. Only when it comes to Kodesh do we have these distinctions, and then we're saying that depends whether the thing has the size of Shreferes Hanoid. But again, in the Mishnah, Rashi had understood we're talking about even when both Kalim are Tomei, then we would still make the Gzeira. Tosfos and also the Rambam learn that we're talking about specifically when the outer one is Tahor, if the inner one is Tomei, if the outer one is Tomei, then they would say that there's never any problem doing it anyway, because once the outer one is becoming Tahor, so is the inner one. Obviously, you do need to have Shreferes Hanoid, but we're not going to make a Gzeira in case it might not have. Actually, the Turei Evan brings up an interesting point in this regard. If we were to say that, let's say the case is that it doesn't have the size of Shreferes Hanoid, therefore the inner Keli doesn't become Tomei, therefore the inner Keli remains Tomei, well, wouldn't the water that's touching that Keli in turn be Metame, the outer Keli, and then we would say both of them are Tomei, and then it would work? Well, actually, no. We're talking about where the opening is more than Shreferes Hanoid. So we're saying if Tosfos is saying that Rashi is saying that we're talking about when both Kalim are Tomei, Tosfos is the one who's learning that we're talking about it doesn't work. So Tosfos is the one who's learning that it doesn't work when the outer one is Tahor, the inner one is Tomei. So the Turei Evan says, well, according to Tosfos, why can't we have? The opening is wider than Shreferes Hanoid, fine, but the inner Keli is Tomei. As soon as the water hits it, then it's Metame, that water that it touches. In turn, that water is Metame, the outer Keli. There you go, both of them are Tomei, and now it should work, even for Kodesh. And the answer is because that kind of thing, that because it's going to be Metame one, that they're because Tevila helps for one, therefore it helps for the other, is only going to help by Tumas Daraisa. Here, when we're talking about where it only becomes Tomei with liquids, which is a Tumas Darabanan, then it's not necessarily going to work. So the Gemara says, but as the Rava L'taimei, now Rava is going according to his own Svara, when he says that you are allowed to Tovel Kalim in a Salo Gargusni, and there's no problem in it. So Rava says, Salo Gargusni Shemilan Kalim, if he fills them up with Kalim, V'itbilan, and he tovels them in a mikveh, Tahurin, then they're Tahur. So now, according to the Ila, that wouldn't work, because according to the Ila, you still have the problem that they might weigh down on the surface of the basket and be a problem. But according to Rava, if the only problem is Shreferes Hanoid, well, a Salo Gargusni have an opening much wider than that. And Rava says, here's another din, Umikva Shechoke, the Salo Gargusni. Suppose you have a mikveh, and in the middle of it, you put a Salo Gargusni. Now that divides the mikveh in half. Then, Hatovel Shomle, also Loitvila. Then if a person tovels in such a mikveh, which now you have the two mikvahs on either side, do not have 40 sah, so then also like tevila, the tevila doesn't count. Even though the Salo Gargusni have a lot of holes in them, and the holes should allow the water to mix together, and it should be considered one big kosher to mikveh. But says Rava, we don't say that. And after all, he says, I can prove to you that we don't say that, that just because there are holes in there that it should count. After all, you consider the ground of the hole is porous. Whenever you have water coming out of the ground, you have it. It comes from some big river elsewhere. We still don't say that it's considered connected to the river. You need to have 40 saw here. Well, you need to have 40 saw here. But in it, you can mem sub makamachot. You have to have 40 saw in one place. So therefore, so the fact that the ground is porous doesn't help us. The same way, the fact that the Salo Gargusni are porous doesn't help us. Nevertheless, the two mikvahs do not combine. Actually, there are a number of the poskim say, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that if the total amount of the holes, if the total area of the holes equals Shreferes Hanoid, then actually you'd be good. The Chacham Tzvi actually argues on that based on our Gemara. So the halacha technically is like this, is like the other poskim. Nevertheless, they try to be machmir by mikvos. We try to be machmir according to all opinions. So they do take the Chacham Tzvi's opinion into account as well. Anyway, so we see that even though the Sal and Gargusni have holes in them, but Rava is saying the holes are not enough to combine together to consider that the two mikvos now are considered to be touching each other, and therefore that they should be considered one big mikveh. On the other hand, a different din with Sal and Gargusni, which was more what relevant to our sugya, was we were saying that he's saying you can tovel kalim inside them, and it would work even for Kodesh. So the Gemara says, "Vahani mili b'kli toho." Now, all of this that we're saying that you can't tovel a keli inside another keli for kodesh is talking about when the outer keli is toho. Avo b'kli tome, but if the outer keli is tome, nigo de salka tvila l'kule gupe de mana. Once we're saying that tvila helps for the entire outer keli, salka l'hunami l'kelim de isde, then it will also work for the kelim that are inside of it. So then it would work even for kodesh. And we know that the Tanan, because in fact we learn something to that effect in a Mishnah in Miklos. Kalim Shemilan Kalim, if you fill up Kalim with other Kalim, the Bilan, and then you tovel them all in Mikvah, Harei the Tahorin, then all of them are Tahor, the Im Loi Tomal. Now if he did not tovel, which means, now what does it mean he didn't tovel? The Gemara is going to say soon, it means if he didn't need to tovel it, Mayim Hamu'uravim, then you have the water that's mixed with the Mikvah. We're going to explain in a second what the Mishnah means, because the way the Mishnah is phrased sounds a little awkward. So, im lo tovel, if you didn't tovel, mayim ha-mu'uravim, then the water that's mixed together means ad shiyu mu'uravim k'shaferes anoid, then they have to be mixed to the extent of shaferes anoid. You have to have at least that size opening between one and the other. So, when it says my comma, what does the Mishnah mean? My comma, im lo tovel, what does it mean if you didn't tovel? We're talking about you are toveling it. And the answer is it means hoke comma. If the scenario is that you don't have to tovel the outer keli because the outer keli itself is tahor, and umayim hamu'uravim, so now you want to now you're being matahor. Now you want to make the inner kelim tahor using the water that's coming into the outer keli and saying the inner kelim are in that water, therefore it should be good. Then ad shiumu'uravim k'shaferes anoid. Then it needs to be mixed to the extent of Shaferes Anoid, meaning in other words, the opening of the outer keli needs to be at least that size. So we see exactly what Rava is saying, that when the outer keli is tome, then once the outer keli becomes toher, so do the inner keli. And then we don't even necessarily need to worry about Shaferes Anoid. Because we say once the outer keli becomes tahor, so do the inner keli inside it. On the other hand, if the outer keli is loy tova, I mean it didn't need to be tovel, then you need shreferes anoid in order to be matahor the keli inside it. Okay, the Gemara points out v'hoda Rava u'dura ila tanoi. Now, so we went through Rav Ila's opinion and Rava's opinion about why in our Mishnah you're not allowed to be makvil kelim besoch kelim. Rav Ila because they might weigh down on the outer keli, and Rava because the outer keli might have an opening narrower than shreferes anoid. So the Gemara says v'hodir de Rava u'dir Rav Ila tanoi. This is actually machloikas tanoim of how to understand this din. The Tanya salve gargusni shemilan kelim. A regular basket or gargusni, a large basket, shemilan kelim, where you fill them up with kelim, v'itbilan bein l'kodesh bein l'truma, and then you tovel them, whether you're toveling them for kodesh or for truma, tahorin, then either way they're tahor. Avashola, l'truma, avaloi l'kodesh. And Avashol says only for truma and not for kodesh. So we see Rav Ilo, who's saying the problem is chatzitza, so he would say it's a problem for Kodesh, that you might have had a chatzitza. Rava is saying the problem is shreferes hanoid, since it's a salam gargusni, there's no problem with that, so therefore that's what we're saying. So the Tanakama would say Torah, even for Kodesh, because he's following Rava's reason. Abashol would follow Rav Ilo's reason and say that therefore it's not good for Kodesh. Actually, Tosfos wonders why not. I mean, we're talking about the Bidyevet already over here, where he tovelled them, Vihit Bilon. So why would we say the Bidyevet that it's no good? But Tosfos leaves it Tzorachim. Okay. So now the question is, okay, so now that we established all of that, so fine, we understand now that there are reasons why not to be Makbo Kalim Besoch Kalim. So now the question is, Yehochi Trumanami. Well then, whether the problem is chatzitza, whether the problem is shreferes hanoid, why indeed should we not make the same gzeira for truma? And the answer is l'man kamrinan. The answer is because after all, who are we talking about? These dinim we're talking about chaverim. Necessarily, we're talking about these dinim that we're talking about over here are addressed to chaverim.
As we said yesterday and the day before, chaverim are people who are careful in Tumah v'Tahara. Really, the proper term for them, the proper general term for them is prushim, because they're careful to separate themselves from the Ami Haaretz. But the Gemara often, sometimes the word prushim was used in kind of a derogatory sense by the Tzedukim and by others. So therefore, the Chachamim, where possible, preferred to use the word chaverim, which has a positive connotation, that they're all friendly, they're all part of one companionship because they don't have to stay apart from each other. So chavit, necessarily, when we're talking about these dinim in the Mishnah, necessarily we have to be talking about to a chaver, because after all, an Am HaOretz who's not careful in the dinim of Tumah v'Tahara is not going to come in the first place to ask what he should do with his kelim. Well then, chaverim made a yadi. Well then, the answer is chaverim know about the problem of chatzitza. They know about the problem of sheferes anoid. So they'll be careful to avoid those things. Therefore, we don't have to make a gzera when it comes to truma. Well then, the question is yochi kodesh nami nu. Then the same thing should apply to kodesh as well. Again, obviously, we're talking about the dinim of our mishnah are addressed to a chaver. So once we're talking about a chaver, then what's the difference truma or kodesh? And the answer is chazilei am haaretz. Fine, we're talking about a chaver himself, but what's going to happen is, if the chaver goes and tovels kalim inside kalim, the Am HaOretz is going to see the ozel makbil, and he's going to go and do the same thing and not pay attention to the weight of the inner kali or to the opening or the size of the opening of the outer kali. So it's not so much that we're worried that the chaver might not be careful with it. We're worried that the Am HaOretz might see what he's doing and copy it, not realizing the details. Well, then we're back to Truma Nami, Chazilei, Am HaOretz V'Ozel Makbil, new, and don't you have the same problem with Truma, that the Am HaOretz is going to do it? And the answer is, Loi Mekablin and Minayvi. The answer is, in general, precisely for that reason, we do not accept Truma from an Am HaOretz. We're always concerned, as we're going to discuss as we go through the Perek, that when an Am HaOretz touches something, it's Tomei Misafik, because the Am HaOretz, the Chachamim declared that the Am HaOretz are Tomei because they don't know the dinim of Tumah v'Tahara, so they may well have become Tomei without realizing it. So therefore, we say that anything that an Am HaOretz touches becomes Tomei. And therefore, in fact, we're not able to accept Truma from them precisely for that reason, because they may well have been Metame the Truma while they were touching it. So then in that case, in the first place, there's no problem. If an Am HaOretz sees a Chaver toveling Kalim like that, and the Am HaOretz goes and copies it, there's no problem that now we Chaverim are going to end up accidentally eating Truma that was Tomei, because we're not accepting Truma from them anyway. Rashi explains there is an exception to that, which we're going to learn later on in the Perek. It's called the Shasa Gittos Vabadim, the time of year when people are pressing their grapes for wine and pressing their olives for oil. During those times, the chaverim work to be metaher the Am HaOretz and their equipment, such that they can take off truma b'tahara. But if they give the truma right there on the spot, then good, we can accept it from them. But if they then bottle it up or barrel it up and then later on want to bring it to us, then it's not good, because we're concerned that they may have been metame it at some point. Tosfos says that actually not really. What we're actually talking about is doing the Yomim Tovim, which again we're going to talk about. We touched on before. We're going to talk about further on in the Perek that during the Yomim Tovim, during the Sholosh Regalim, we consider the Am HaOretz to be Tahor again, because they have a responsibility to become Tahor, and we assume that they did and that they're careful with Tahara throughout the Yomim, Kol Yisrael Chaverim. Whatever the case, so there are times, morning Aaron, there are times when we accept Truma from Am HaOretz, but most of the time we don't. So therefore, if the Am HaOretz winds up toveling his kalim the wrong way and using them for truma, it's not really a concern of ours. There's no possibility that we're going to end up eating truma that's tome. So therefore, we don't have to make these gzeiras on truma, because on kalim for truma, the chaver will know to be careful, and the Am HaOretz, if he copies the chaver, no big deal, because his food is considered to be tome anyway. Well, the question is kodesh nami lo nekabo minayu. By that logic, we shouldn't accept kodesh from them either. And the answer is havile eva. The problem is then they're going to resent us. Well, but then we're back to the question, truma nami havile eva, nu, and if we don't accept truma from them, aren't they going to resent us also? And the answer is no. That's not a problem. Lo yichbasle. The Amah Oretz isn't going to care. The chaver doesn't. The chaver, the koyin who's a chaver, doesn't want to accept my truma. Big deal. The also yoyv the koyin Amah Oretz chaveret. Fine. I know another koyin who's an Amah Oretz who's like me. He doesn't. He's not picky about these things. He thinks the chachamim are too machmir on these things. So I'll give my truma to him, and he can eat it. So therefore, if the chaver, if the Amah Oretz sees that the chaver is not accepting this truma, it's not going to cause eva. It's not going to cause bad feelings between them. On the other hand, Kodesh, as we're going to say, is not. Because with Kodesh, there's only one base in Mikdash. So therefore, and the Gemara is going to explain in a second, so we can't start having that we're going to accept Kodesh only from some people and not from others. That's going to create a rift among the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, Uman Tana de Chayesh La'eva. Well, who is the Tana who actually is concerned about this matter of Eva? And says that, and says that where Eva is an issue, then we can relax some of the dinim, given that the dinim themselves are only drabbanon anyway. Daraisa, after all, we don't have to be choishesh that the Amah Oretz tame. The whole thing is only drabbanon. So which Tana would say that? Rabbi Yosi. So that would be according to Rabbi Yosi. Tanya, Amr Rabbi Yosi, mipnei ma hakol ne monin al taras yain v'shemen kol yomayz hashana. Why is it that even now, we just said that when it comes to Truma, we're trusting the Amei Oretz only certain times of the year, only during the pressing season, only during the Yom Tovim. On the other hand, when it comes to wine or oil for Nesachim or for Menachos, that we accept from the Amei Oretz all year round. Rashi brings from later in our parak, that we say that in Yehuda, which is the area, the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, so the area that's within a fairly close distance of Yerushalayim, then we can trust the Amei Oretz about the Tara of their wine and oil all year round. So Rabbi Yossi says, why? Given that they're Amei Oretz, don't we have a concern that they might have been metamei it by touching it? Well, the reason is, we don't want that every person is going to go build a bama for himself. And of course, we're talking about a time after the Beis Hamikdash was built, when bamas are forever also. So we don't want the Amah Oretz is going to say, hey, you don't want my wine and oil? What, my standards of kashrus, my standards of tara aren't enough for you? Fine, I'll go build my own Beis Hamikdash and bring my korbanos over there. We don't want that. The sort of parah adruma l'atmai. We don't want him to be burning a parah adruma for himself, which means two things. Number one, it means for the same reason Tosfos says, we also say that we trust Amei Oretz regarding things involving parah adruma. Now, even though we said in our Mishnah, we said in previously on Yud Ches Amud Beis, big day oichle kodesh midras lechatas, that even people who are eating kodshim are considered tame relative to chatas, and we have a whole bunch of milas and then chumras and whenever that comes to chatas, meaning parah adruma, but we have a kula in it, namely that if an Amah Oretz says that this keli is tahor to the standards to be used for chatas, then we can trust him. So why? Same idea, because we don't want it to be sort of part of Atzmai. We don't want it to be saying, what, it's not good enough for you, my standards of Tara. I know what I'm doing. So you're not going to listen to me. I'm going to go make my own part Adroma and follow my own rules. And we don't want that. There's a Tosfos Yom Tov in Masechta Para that learns a little bit differently. He says the vote is, if we tell him we don't trust the Tara of your wine and oil, he's going to say, why? Because you think I'm tummy mess? Fine, I'll go burn my own part Adroma and make myself Tahar, and then you'll have to accept my wine or oil. Whatever the case, Rabbi Yossi is saying that because of that consideration, we have to accept wine and oil from Amei Oretz for Nesachim, for Kodshim, and we have to trust them on Parah Adruma. So we see that Rabbi Yossi holds of this concept of Eva, that if you don't do that, then it's going to cause a rift among the Jewish people. So by the same token, therefore, that's what we're saying. Therefore, Kodesh, we have to accept from them. Truma, we don't have to accept from them because there's no Eva. Truma is a decentralized thing. Every Kohen gets Truma, every farmer gives Truma individually, and every Kohen receives it individually. So therefore, if a Chover is not willing to accept the Truma from the Amah Oretz will say, no problem, I know plenty of Kohen and Amah Oretz who are willing to accept it. So by the way, the Gemara says, Omar Papa, Kiman Makablin and Ha'idna Sadusa Me Amah Oretz. Which opinion are we following when nowadays we accept Eidus from an Amah Oretz? Meaning, as opposed to, Rashi says, there's a Gemara in Psochim where it says that we don't accept Eidus from an Amah Oretz. So Kiman Kirab Yosi. Who would be that? Who would that be like? Like Rabbi Yosi, because Rabbi Yosi is saying that we're choshesh for Eva. So by the same token, By the same token, according to Rabbi Yossi, we would say that even though maybe technically an Amoritz is not kosher l'edus, because we don't know, he might conceivably be lying, but Rabbi Yossi is saying that based on what Rabbi Yossi is saying, we don't have to worry about that. Now, Tosfos first of all points out that we do in fact follow Rabbi Yossi in that, and we are choshesh for Eva in, for example, this matter of the wine and oil and the parah adumah and so forth. By the same token, for example, even though there's a Gemara in Brachas that says that you can't have an amaoret to join in a mezuman, nevertheless, we don't follow that. We follow what Rabbi Yossi is saying. Implicit in what Rabbi Yossi is saying is whenever there's a concern of Eva, then we're allowed. Therefore, we're allowed to have an amaoret to join a mezuman. Tosfos points out a different point also. When do we say that you can't have an amaoret join a mezuman? Would be when it's a Taman Chacham who's part of the Zimun. Well, we don't say that we're such high caliber Taman Chachamim that should be even a problem for us. So that's another reason to be matur. As far as Eidos, in fact, now you have, there is that Gemara in Pesachim that says that you can't accept Eidos for an amaoret. However, the Rif says over there, we're not just talking about a run-of-the-mill amaoret. In general, in Shas, we have the word Amaoret many times. Most of the time, it refers to somebody who just he's a good yid. He does whatever he knows how to. But he's an Amaoret. He never learned Torah, and therefore he doesn't know the ins and outs of a lot of dinim. So he's careless in a lot of dinim, not because he's a bad guy, but just because he never learned. On the other hand, you have a kind of the Rif says the Gemara in Pesachim over there is talking about a different kind of Amaoret. The kind, or at least some of the statements over there in Pesachim, are talking about an Amaoret who doesn't even have good midos. He's a ganav, he's a gazlan, or whatever. So that's the kind, then we're saying that we can't accept edus from him. So according to that, it would mean, not the Ram says, in that case, not necessarily, when all Gemara is saying that we accept edus from Amaoret only like Rabbi Yossi, doesn't necessarily mean only like Rabbi Yossi. In fact, there wouldn't be anybody who argues with him. We're just saying the fact is Rabbi Yossi, we see clearly from Rabbi Yossi's statement over here, that he would allow it. Doesn't necessarily mean, unlike Rashi, the Ram learns, unlike Rashi, the Chachamim would not necessarily disagree with him. So it ends up being a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch, what the dinim of that are. Is it that we're allowed to accept? We definitely were saying, like Tosfos is saying, we follow Rabbi Yossi and we're worried about Eva. So definitely then, as long as an Amaoret, if a guy is an Amaoret, as long as he's Shomer Torah Mitzvah to the best of his ability, then for sure we can accept Eidos from him. What happens if not? Then you have a Macholikus Aposkim, whether you would be able to or not. So would we say that nevertheless we'd still make an exception and allow him to give Eidos, or would we say that not? Okay, getting back to the matter of Truma V'Tahara now.
Alexander, there's a little issue here. We seem to be mixing up the knowledge of Torah and the integrity of a person. And
so
now
that's
you,
what I'm
you
saying.
Can't have.
Hold on.
Let me finish a second.
Yeah.
Someone can know Torah and have no integrity whatsoever, even a Talmid Chacham. And someone can be an Amaret and have a lot of integrity. So
as far as your first part, you're right. And of course, if we know that a Talmid Chacham doesn't have integrity, then of course we can't accept Eidos from him either. We're talking about, by default, a Talmid Chacham, we assume, is Kosher L'Eidos. Obviously, if we have reason to know that he's Kosher L'Eidos, for whatever reason, that's a different matter. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the
default. That's not obvious at all, actually.
That's what it is. There are psulei edus, which are listed in Choshen Mishpat Simen Lamed Daled, where a person does various averas. And yeah, obviously a person could be a Talmid Chacham and doing those averas. We're just talking about, by default, we assume that a Talmid Chacham or a person who knows Torah is kosher for edus. As far as the Amaoret, again, your point is exactly what the Rif is saying, that when do we say an Amaoret is possible edus when he doesn't have Derech Eretz either? When he's a ganav or a gazlan, or he doesn't have a state, or he doesn't have a job or whatever, but when he does, the Rif would say for sure he's kosher la'edus, and that's what the Gemara is saying over here. On the other hand, again, you have Rishonim who say that no, there are in fact that Gemara is in fact talking about a regular amaoret, and the Chachamim Rashi is saying over here the Chachamim would in fact pass on for edus because we assume just on the grounds that he's an amaoret, he may not have the erlichkeit to give honest edus. He may go and lie and base din and not have any compunctions about it. Whereas Rabbi Yossi is saying, maybe, but on the other hand, we have the problem of Eva, and therefore we have to accept edus from him. So again, you have a machloikas aposkim about the details of that. To what in general, when the guy is an erlich yid and keeps mitzvahs, then we're saying, like Rabbi Yossi is saying over here, sure, we can accept edus from him. We can assume that he's an erlich guy and he's going to give honest edus. When he doesn't, then you have questions about can you accept edus from him or not. All right, let's go on with the Gemara. So getting back now to Tumah V'Tahara, the Gemara says, V'nechu Shlasha'ela. Now, why are we saying, You can't tovel one keli inside the other for Kodesh, but you could for Tumah. And we said the reason is because by Tumah, we're not worried about if the Ama Oret sees what we're doing, because even if he does, his kelim are already Tumah anyway, and we're not accepting Tumah from him. The question is, fine, we're not accepting Tumah from him. Don't we have a problem that we might borrow kelim from him? And the keli is not toivled properly. The Tanan, as in fact we learn in the Mishnah, kli cheres matzal ala kol divrei b'shilo. So we're going to go through a long thing over here. Only in the middle of the next amud are we going to get back to the point where we see from the implication of this Mishnah that there are cases where a chover can borrow kelim from an ama oretz. So now the question is, given that the Ama Oretz, his kelim, may not have been tovled properly because he saw a chover tovling a keli inside a keli for truma, he goes and does the same thing, but he's not careful about the kelim weighing down or shreferes anoid, and therefore his keli, his inner keli or his outer keli, is in fact not tor. Isn't there a problem that we're going to borrow it from him on the assumption that he tovled it? So we're going to go through a Mishnah in Adias over here and analyze it. And then at the end of the analysis, we're going to see how it's possible for a Chavar to be borrowing Kalim from an Amar and assume that they're Tahor. So this time, Kli Cheretz Matzal Ala Kol Dibre Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel says, if you have so we know the Torah tells us that if you have a Kali that is Somid Posel, that's tightly covered with a seal, and that Kali is in an Oil mess, anything inside that keli remains tahor. So Basil is saying that applies across the board. Anything that's inside a kli cheres that's covered with a tight seal, even if it's an oil mess, it still remains tahor. Or Rashi says another example, which we're going to be using in the Gemara soon, is let's say, for example, you have a first floor in a house and a second floor. Between them, there's an opening to get from the first floor to the second floor. Now, suppose there's a mess in the bottom floor. Suppose that in the top floor you have things that you want to remain tahor. So what do? Before the mess dies, you take a kli cheres and you put it over the opening to cover it up. So this civil saying that helps. That kli, after all, a kli cheres does not become tamei from the outside, only from the inside. You put it with the outside facing down. So you took, let's say, an earthenware pot and put it the bottom side down on top of the opening. So good. Now it blocks the tumah from going through, and therefore everything in the second floor in the attic stays tahor. That's Beis Hillel. Beis Shammah says no. Ein matzil al al oichlam al mashkim v'al klei cheres. The only things that will save in either of these scenarios is food or drink or klei cheres. So if you have again in Rashi's first scenario, if you have a large earthenware keli inside an oil mess, and inside it are smaller earthenware kelim or food or drinks, and the outer keli is covered with a tight seal, some impossible, then everything in it, Beis Shammai agrees, will remain tahor. But if you had in it other things, if you had in it, let's say, wooden or metal kelim, which could be toivled, then Beis Shammai would say that they actually become tahor. And the same thing in the scenario with the two floors. Beis Shammai would say that if you put a kli cheres there in the middle, so fine, anything that, the food and drink that's in the attic and the clay cheres that are in the attic will remain tahor, but the people there will actually become tameh, and so will anything that could be tovled, wooden kalim, metal kalim, etc. Amr lahem bis hilul bis shamim b'chemah. So Basil asks bis shamim, why are you making this distinction? Amr bis shamim. So bis shamim answered, mipnei shu tameh agav ama oret. Because after all, the kli cheres that we're talking about is tomei, because to begin with, the ama oretz touched it. Midrabanan, everything that an ama oretz touches is tomei. The ain kli tomei chotzitz, and a kli tomei is not able to be a chatzitza. This is a basic rule in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara that when we say that a keli can be a chatzitza to prevent tumah from going from one place to another, that applies only if the keli itself is tahor. Here, Beis Shammai is saying the keli was previously touched by the ama oretz, therefore it's tomei. So, in fact, by the way, the Rambam and the Ravid and some other Rishonim learn that because of that, what we say is not only would that apply if the keli belongs to an Am Haaretz, we would apply it even if the keli belongs to a Chaver because it's easily confused with such a keli of an Am Haaretz. So we would always say then that the Kli Cheres, whether it belongs to an Am Haaretz and is in fact Tomei, or whether it belongs to a Chaver, nevertheless, we'd still say that it doesn't block the Tumah from going to the second floor. So the soul says, okay, but what are you talking about? The fact is you're saying that the food or drink inside the keli is tahor. If you're saying the keli itself is tameh, then the food and drink in it will also not be protected from tumah. So the Shammai answers them, when we say that the food and drink is tahor, what we mean is we mean for himself, meaning the Am Haaretz is going to be the one eating it. The Chaver is not going to be eating that food because it's food of an Am Haaretz, because it's food of an Am Haaretz, and the Chaver knows that food of an Am Haaretz is very likely to be tahor. So therefore, so we can allow the food itself to remain tahor, because it doesn't really matter even if we suppose that it did in fact become tahor, that the outer keli really is tahor. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter. A chaver is not going to be eating such food anyway. Aval of taras akli, but says Beis Shammai, it's a question. Avon the taras akli, do you want us to be matahar the keli? Shetaharose loch v'loy. Where after all, the tara is for both you and him, where you might borrow the keli from him. So in other words, so Beis Shammai is saying, so let's say, for example, again, there's a wooden keli inside this kli cheres, or in the attic that is blocked by this kli cheres. Conceivably, in the future, you, a chaver, might well borrow that wooden keli from the Am Haaretz, figuring that it's tahor, because the Am Haaretz will say, I toivled it, not realizing that, in fact, his kli cheres was tomei and didn't prevent the tumah from going to the wooden keli. And therefore, in fact, it needs to be sprinkled with parah aduma water. You're not going to realize that. So far we see that it is possible to borrow kelim from an Am Haaretz. So we're first going to go through a side discussion, understanding Beis Shammai's opinion, and then we're going to get back to the main point over here, which is that we should be concerned that how can we borrow kelim from an Am Haaretz where there's a concern that they became tomei, and again we said that maybe he didn't toivel them properly because maybe he saw a chaver toiveling his kelim and didn't pay attention to the exact details of how he toiveled it. Tosfos, by the way, wonders. I mean, anyway, it's tomei because the Am Haaretz touched it. So Achronim explained, I think the Turei Evan or the Siach Yitzchak, I don't remember, explained that, the vote is, in other words, that, fine, obviously we're going to have to tovel it. Because it was touched by an Am Haaretz. But the point is, at least we don't have to be concerned that it actually became Tomei Mess, which would require Hazah. So that's the thing. We're saying what would happen if we borrow it from him? Suppose it did become Tomei Mess, and he had it sprinkled and toveled, but the toveling wasn't done properly because he didn't realize that he has to make sure it doesn't weigh down on the outer keli, or that the opening of the outer keli is shreferes anoid. And now we're going to be using it, and it turns out that it was tomei because it hadn't gone through the full process of tara. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Omer Rabbi Yeshua, boishani medivreichem beis shamai. Rabbi Yeshua says, I'm embarrassed about your words, Beis Shammai. What you're saying, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, doesn't seem to make any sense. Let's consider the case. We said that there's a case with two floors in a house where you block the skylight, you block the opening between them with a kli cheres. So what is Beis Shammai saying? Efshu isha losha ba'areva. Imagine then you have a woman standing on the second floor over there and kneading dough inside a tray, where the tray or the bowl is made out of wood. You're telling me Isha Areva Tmei and Shiva or Botzek Tahar. You're telling me that the woman and the wooden trough are going to be Tomei for 7 days, the full Tumas mess, and you're going to say the dough that was inside there, the dough that she herself is handling, and the dough that's constantly touching that bowl should remain Tahar. Doesn't seem to work. Similarly, Rabbi Yeshua says, Lugin Mole Mashkin. If you have a bottle or a container of wood, let's say, full of liquid in that attic, are you telling, or inside that Kli Cheres, are you telling me Lugin Tomei Tumas Shiva or Mashkin Taharin? You're telling me the bottle would be Tomei Tumas Mess and the liquid inside it would remain Tahar? It doesn't work. How does such a thing work? Well, the Gemara says, Nitbala Talmud Echam, Talmud of Beis Shammai. A Talmud of Beis Shammai met up with Rabbi Shua. Nitbala literally means he attached himself to him. So, like, he came over to talk to him. Amalai, Oymalach Taiman Shabbat Shammai. So he asked him, can I tell you the reason of Beis Shammai? Amalai Emor, Rabbi Shua says, go ahead. Amalai, so the Talmud of Beis Shammai starts, let's establish some basics. Kli Tomei Chotetz or Enei Chotetz? Is a Kli that's Tomei? Does that block Tumah from going from point A to point B or not? Amalai, and Rabbi Shua says, of course, Enei Chotetz. We know it's not Chotetz. And the Talmud of Beis Shammai continues, Kli Shal Hama'aretz Tomei or Toher? Now, this Kli of the Hama'aretz, is it Tomei or Toher? Amalai Tomei. So Rabbi Shua says, of course, it's Tomei. So that establishes why it's not going to block the Tumah from some things. But Rabbi Yeshua is still bothered by, but why does it block the Tumah from some things? Well, the Talmud of Beis Shammai says, V'im ata omer lo tomei, if you tell the Amoritz that his keli is tomei, klum mashgiach halacha, is he going to pay any attention to you? He's going to, what are we saying? To begin with, the Kli Cheres is Tomei because the Amoretz touched it. The Amoretz himself is not going to accept that from you. He's going to say, what are you talking about? I'm not Tomei. And the point is also, we have to remember, these three things that Beis Shammai is being Matahir, they can never be toiled in a mikveh. So if you're going to tell him, Mr. Amoretz, your Kli Cheres is Tomei, and therefore, and then he's going to say, so what do you want me to do with it? And you're going to tell him, well, I'm sorry, you can't toivel a kli cheres, you have to break it. He's going to say, go away, I don't want to talk to you. You're telling me I have to break my kli cheres because I'm an amaretz, nothing doing. As opposed to, Rashi says, if you tell him, for example, about a wooden keli, that it's tomei, so he'll say, okay, you know what, fine. So all it means, I have to go to the mikveh, big deal. Tosfos learns slightly differently. Because clay cheres are always tomei, therefore a chaver will never borrow clay cheres from an amaretz, but he will borrow wooden kalim from him because they could conceivably be made tahor. All the chaver has to do is dip them in the mikveh. So the amaretz is not going to listen to you when you tell him that his kli cheres is tomei. V'loy oid, not only that, ella shim ata oimalai tomei. If you tell him your kli cheres is tomei, oimalach, the amaretz is going to say to you just the opposite. Shali tohar v'shalach tomei. My keli is tohar. Your keli may be tomei, but mine is tohar because I know what I'm doing. Because he doesn't realize even that he doesn't know what he's doing. In fact, by the way, we said before, the Rambam and the Ravid hold that the Gzeira applies even to the Kalim of a Chover. Once we say it applies to Kalim of an Amoritz, then it applies to a Kalim of a Chover. So now we have more reason that the Chover is going to say, no, you don't know what you're talking about. My Kalim are Torah. Your Kalim, you're considering your own Kalim Tomei, Gizom Tehei. But I have no reason to consider my Kalim Tomei. Nothing of Tumah touched them. I myself am not Tomei. So he tells him the Zo time and Shabbos Shammai. So that's the reason why Beis Shammai is saying that this earthenware keli, this kli cheres, will not block tumah for most things. The only things it'll block tumah for are things that, in any case, can't be toivled in a mikveh, namely oichon mashkin or kli cheres. Those things cannot be toivled in a mikveh. Therefore, the Amoritz is not going to even listen to you if you tell him that they're tomei. So therefore, we can't make a gzeira on those. But the rest of the thing, and in any case, there's no problem of a chaver because the chaver is not going to borrow such things from an Amoritz. So that's the reason behind Beis Shammai's opinion. So you're saying, Rabbi Yeshua, it seems very inconsistent that in the case where the woman is kneading dough over there, that the dough should be tahor and everything else should be tomei. That's why, because the dough. In fact, all of them are tomei, but the dough, we really don't have a choice. If we tell the Amoritz that the dough is tomei, he's not going to throw it out just because of that. Whereas if you tell him that the woman and the trough are tomei, then fine, he'll tell the woman herself and the trough can be dipped in a mikveh and become tohu. And by the way, the Mishnah in Ohalos mentions that if in fact she takes the dough out of the trough and then puts it back in, then in fact it will be tomei as well. We only say this din as long as it's in the trough, as long as it's in the tray and she's kneading it, then we say that we're going to allow it to remain tohu. But if she takes it out and puts it back in, it will in fact become tohu. So v'zeu taimen shel Beis Shammai. So he tells him that's the reason behind Beis Shammai's opinion. Miyad holach Rabbi Yeshua v'nishtateach al kivi Beis Shammai. Right away, Rabbi Yeshua went and bowed down to ask Mechila by the graves of Beis Shammai. This is long after Beis Shammai had lived and passed away. So by now, we can't ask the Mechila in person. But he goes and asks Mechila by their grave. Omar, he says, Nan Nasi Lachem Atmas Beth Shammai. I've spoken too much against you, bones of Beth Shammai. Mas Dumas Shalachem Kah. Madach, a case of something like this, where it's very obscure and very unclear why you're saying a din, and now I got an explanation, and now I understand what you're saying fully. Mefurashis, Allah has kama v'kama, how much more so when you say something and it's very obvious why you're saying and why you're saying it, that we should respect your opinion. Now, it doesn't mean most of the time that halacha is not like Bishamai, but still Rabbi Yeshua is saying we should never put down Bishamai's opinion and say we don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about, because even in a case like this where it seemed very inconsistent and it seemed that there's no svara behind what they're saying, nevertheless, it turns out there's a very logical svara to it. In this particular case, actually, the Mishnah says Beis Hillel ended up conceding to Beis Shammai because Rabbi Yeshua now was told the reason behind Beis Shammai's opinion, and he understood it and accepted it. So, in fact, this is one of those rare cases where the halacha is like Beis Shammai, because in the end there was no machlokas. Beis Hillel ended up agreeing to them. And the Gemara says, Omru, they said, Kol Yomav Hushcharu Shinav Mipnei Tani Yosef. For the rest of Rabbi Yeshua's life, his teeth became black because of fasting, because he was fasting so much to for tshuva, for the fact that he had spoken in a derogatory way against Beis Shammai. Now, just to argue with Beis Shammai, of course, would have been fine, but to say this expression, I'm embarrassed at your words, which implies like you don't know what you're talking about. So now that he realized that Beis Shammai was right, then from then on, he fasted so much that his teeth eventually turned black from that. The Alter Rebbe brings that in the Geras HaTshuva as an example of when we say, many times we find that Chachamim would fast for things where it's not required up yalocha at all to fast. We learned, for example, in Megillah, we had a case where Rav Huna's tefillin strap turned inside out and he fasted a lot for it. Here we have this example of Rabbi Yeshua. So you have several examples of that where the Chachamim accepted on themselves extra voluntary fasts in order to not and the Alter Rebbe explains over there, these are fasts to come to a higher level in order to be merutz of a chaviv. Like this, a person did something wrong and he does tshuva. Fine, Hashem is not going to punish him, but nevertheless, he still wants to be merutz of a chaviv. He still wants to be as beloved and as close to Hashem as before. So therefore, he accepts on himself fast. So the Alter Rebbe says, nowadays, we can't fast for the most part. So for the most part, we give tzedakah instead, but that's the idea behind it. So this is what Rabbi Yeshua was doing. So now, katoni mias loch v'loy. So now that we went through this whole discussion, we mentioned before that Beis Shammai said that kalim that could be toivel in a mikvah are loch v'loy. They're available for the amaretz as well. They're available for you, the chaver, as well as for him, the amaretz. Alma shalinin minayu. So we see we're allowed to borrow kalim from the amaretz. So we're back to the question. Given that the amaretz may see the chaver toivel in kalim inside kalim, and he's going to go and do the same thing and not be careful with the things that could cause problems, according to Rabbi Ila and Rava, then how can we borrow such a keli from him, assuming that he toveled it correctly when he didn't necessarily? And the answer is, well, fine, when we borrow the keli from him, we're going to tovel it ourselves, in case you're right, in case he didn't tovel it properly. Well, the question is, if that's the case, so why doesn't Beis Hillel answer Beis Shammai? You're telling me that only the clay cheres and food and drink remain tahor in that case. Everything else becomes tamei. Why isn't when Beis Shammai says you want us to be matar kalim, which could be used by both us or them? Why doesn't Beis Hillel answer very simply? That we're going to tovel him anyway. So what's the problem? And the answer is because we're not just worried about something that requires tevila. Tmei mess boy hazog gimel v'zayin, because we're talking about a case where they might be tmei mess, where again the ama'aretz is kli cheres doesn't block the tumas mess from going to the wooden kalim or whatever that were in the attic, and therefore so it's not going to be enough to tovel it. You're going to need to sprinkle it with parah adumah water on the third and seventh days. And most of the time when people lend out a keli like that, they're not usually lending it out for a week at a time. What kind of kelim are we talking about? You're talking about, for example, like a person needs to borrow a sieve or something like that, some small kitchenware or whatever. Normally, people don't lend it out for 7 days because amaretz can't do without it for 7 days. So therefore, you're not going to have time. So if it was just a matter of dipping it in the mikveh, fine, you dip it in the mikveh, you use it that same day, and you return it to him. But if we're talking about that it actually became tamei mess, you'd need to keep it for a week. And the amaretz is usually not going to be willing to lend it to you for a full week. So the Gemara asked, Batvila loy mehemni. So are you telling me that? So are you telling me that we don't trust the Amei Oretz about the tvila of the kelim, and we're saying therefore that when you, if you borrow a keli from an Amei Oretz, you have to tovel it again? That's how Rashi understands the question. Tosfos understands the question somewhat differently. That we're talking about that we're going back to the discussion with Shammai Vesilo about this case of the kelim becoming tamei or not. So when we said Bish Hillel could answer Bish Shammai, we will toivel the kalim. Do we in fact have to not trust them about the tevila and require ourselves to be toiveling it? So is it in fact the case that we can't trust Amei Oretz about tevila? V'hatanya ne'emanan Amei Oretz al taras tevila smenes. We learn in a braisa that Amei Oretz are trustworthy about the tara of tevila of a tomei mess, meaning that if they say that tevila was done for someone that was tomei mess, then we can trust them. And the answer is Amar Abaye like Kasha, Haba Gufoy, Haba Caleb. There's a difference between his own body and his Caleb. His own body, when he says that he himself toiled, then we'll believe him. But his Caleb, not necessarily. Rava Amar Aydiv Aydiv Caleb. Rava says both could be talking about his Caleb. So we have one thing that says that he is trusted, and another one that says he's not. But like Kasha, there's no contradiction. One case could be where he says, I never toiled one keli inside another. Now, in general, we have to realize when we say we don't trust an Amei Oretz, it's not that we think he's going to lie. It's that we think he doesn't know the dinim. So if he says flat out, I never toiled a keli inside a keli, then we can take him at his word, and therefore we can accept that the tevila that he did for his keli is valid. Whereas if he says, yes, I sometimes tovel kalim inside other kalim, but I always made sure that the outer kali has the size of shreferes anoid. So now we say he might have been careless about that. He might have measured it carelessly or something. And really, it was less than shreferes anoid. And therefore, that would be a problem. So where he says, I never toiled the keli inside a keli, then Rava says we can accept that he toiled the keli in a valid way to take off the Trumas Mess. On the other hand, if he says that I did sometimes toivel Caleb inside other Caleb, then we can't trust that this time he did it correctly. Vaha Tanya, and indeed we learn a brisa along those lines. For example, Naman Amei Oretz loyma peres lehoshu. We can trust an Amei Oretz to say that this particular produce was never mukshal kabel tumah. It never became wet with any of the shiva mashkim. Abel ain't a nem, because again we don't assume that he's lying. Abel ain't a nem and loyma peres hukshu abel loynitnu. But we don't trust him to say that. We don't believe him to say that the peres were mukshal kabel tumah but didn't become tumah, because once you get to becoming tumah or not, that he needs to know all the dinim, and being an Amei Oretz, he doesn't know those dinim. So the same way, we can say that we can trust the Amei Oretz to say that he never toiled kalim inside kalim, but not to say that if he did, that he knew the halachas and knew to do it correctly. So now going back to Abaye's answer, we said in Abaye's answer that when it comes to his own body, we can trust him that he toiled properly. So now the question is, do we in fact trust him about his own body that he toiled properly after Trumas Mess? Vatanya, we learn in another braisa. Chaber shabola hazes. If a chaber comes and says, "I need to be sprinkled with parah aduma water," then no problem. Mazin olav miyad. Then we can right away sprinkle on him, because now the sprinkling has to be done on the third day from when he became tamei, and on the seventh day. Now it could be later, but it can't be earlier. He can't, for example, have become tamei on Monday and becoming already on Monday or Tuesday for Hazar. He'd have to wait till Wednesday, which is the third day. So now if a chaver comes and says today is Wednesday, please sprinkle me with part of aduma water because I became tamei last Monday, then we can accept him and we can sprinkle him right away. But if an Amei Oretz comes, he doesn't realize that it's important to wait until the third day. We can't sprinkle on him unless we see that the third day and the seventh day pass in front of us. So if he comes to us on a Wednesday and says, I want to be sprinkled with Parah Aduma, we can't do it that day because it might not in fact be his third day. We're going to have to say, okay, today's Wednesday. But let's assume that this might possibly be your first day. Or for that matter, you might have touched Trumas Mess again on Wednesday and not even realize it. Therefore, we're going to have to wait Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday, we can do your first Hazah of because that'll be your third day. So we see that even with Tumas Nes, we don't always trust the Amei Aretz. So the Gemara says, Ela, Omer Abaya. So rather, Abaya says, here's a different answer. There are actually different Gersois. Do we have the word Ela in here or not? If we don't have the word Ela, then it means that Abaya is still keeping to what he said before. There's a difference between his own body and his Kalim. If we say that if we say Ella, then it means Abaya is changing his mind and saying that I have a different answer when we can trust the Amoritz and when not. So b'toich choyme sheikh marta ola b'tchilase, because you're being machmer on him to begin with. When you tell, we just said that when he's coming to be sprinkled, and you tell him right away that, and you tell him we can't sprinkle on you right away. We have to wait until we know it's the third day. So because of that, precisely for that, hey kalta ola b'soifei. And then therefore, that itself creates a kula to believe him at the end that he tovled, because now he's going to be extra careful to tovel because he doesn't want to have to deal with you again. He knows, look at this. I came on Wednesday to be sprinkled, and they told me I had to wait till Friday. I had to lose two whole days because of that. Now, at the end of it, therefore, I'm going to be extra careful to make sure that my tzvila is 100% proper, no chatzitza, no nothing, to make sure, therefore, that the chaverim, that the chachamim, are not going to have any problems with me. So therefore, so that itself allows us to trust him at that point. Whereas when we're talking about when we didn't need to be machmer on him at the beginning, then we need to be machmer on the end. Since he didn't have to go through that whole rigmarole, then he might be careless with the tevila, and then we can't necessarily trust that his tevila, that of himself or his kalim, was done properly. Tosfos points out, by the way, that tumas mes is really not that common. So when he comes and says that his kalim did not become tamei mes, then fine, maybe we can accept that, and we only need to he says that they did not come with tumas mes, which is after all not that common. Then we say, okay, it may not be that common, but nevertheless it happened. Therefore, we still need to sprinkle it. But if he actually is coming and says, I know it became tamei mes, then maybe, in the first case, actually, we would say we would trust him. We would say, listen, okay, you know, the tumas mes is not that common, so we can accept you at your word that it didn't become tamei tumas mes. But if he comes and tells us, as in the scenario over here, that it did become tamei mes, then we're going to have to tell him to wait the 3 days. So in any case, so we see, therefore, there are cases where you can borrow kalim from an ama oretz and toivel them. There are otherwise cases where we have to be concerned about tumas nes, and we actually have to sprinkle them with part adruma water as well. And in some cases, therefore, we're not even going to be able to do that, because realistically, you're not going to be able to borrow the keli from him for that length of time. That is why Beis Shammai is saying, and this hill ended up agreeing with them, that that we're going to make the Amah Oretz's kelim tomei in a scenario, like we said before, involving the Kli Cheres, and therefore, if you're borrowing it from him, then you're gonna have to borrow it for 7 days and sprinkle with pot adumo water. On the other hand, we said that clay cheres, you're never gonna borrow from him because they can't be dipped in a mikveh anyway. So therefore, you're never gonna borrow from him, and therefore Beis Shammai can allow them to remain tahor. And again, therefore, so if the amoret tovled kalim, then there can be cases when we accept that his tevila was valid. And then, for example, if he says, I never tovled one keli inside another, versus cases where we say that we can't accept that his tevila was valid because he doesn't know the exact din. Okay. Everyone.